Welcome in, everyone, to episode 96 of Coffee and Chell. I'm Sleeves, joined by Stu and Brent, as well as Benny in the background. Today, we got word on Twitter about Team of the Season finally dropping in NHL 24, so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to discuss our thoughts on the NHL World Championship, which is now down to only six players remaining, with the World Championships the only thing that is looming, but also a lot of hot drama that came with the North American Finals this past weekend. We've also, what else we got? We got Team Builders. Oh, Team Builders came out. We can discuss that a little bit. And, yeah. All right. So it's been a minute since the last time we did an episode, fellas. So what's new? Papa, you go first in dad life.
Well, basically, as soon as my run got ended.
Yeah.
My life is, like, kind of super, like, always, like, looking for the next thing that I'm doing that I'm super focused on. And I was like, I have nothing to do right now. I remember it was, like, the first Friday after. I sat down in my setup, and I just kind of was like, I don't even know what to do with my time right now. Like, it was felt so unbelievably empty. So I'm basically right now 13 weeks out from my wedding. So I was like, you know what?
Oh,
I'm going to just go absolutely bonkers on like my diet. I'm basically trying cut down like 25 pounds. Not that it was like, I wasn't chunky. Like, people on my stream say that I'm fat all the time, but I hope as a joke.
It's a meme.
I'm trying to go down from like 205 to like 180. I want to be like 180, like shredded. So then when I look back at the pictures one day, I can be like, man, I looked good. Instead of going back and looking like, oh God, man, you could have lost a few pounds on there. So
I'm just
kind of trying to look in the best condition I can for that.
I can appreciate that. My wedding day was the lowest I had ever been in my entire life. So I can appreciate it. And my wedding pictures are fantastic of me and my wife, too. But no, nice. I can appreciate that. So, okay. I didn't know you were married. Okay, 13 weeks. How many people at your wedding?
Well, so basically the whole point was we're going to do a small wedding to keep the costs low. So we got this like 25-person package. We're supposed to be all close family and like our closest friends and all that. And to keep it reasonably priced and don't just dismantle the bank account. And then my mother-in-law had this great idea of doing like a part, like an after party kind of thing the next reception? Day.
Oh, the next day.
Yeah. So it is basically the reception. Yeah. But we're like, and she's like, oh, we'll invite like just more of the family, more friends and all that. And we're like, and my thing was, I was like, okay, that's fine. But like, this is not a part of what I'm contributing. Like, this is like, if you want to throw a party, like, absolutely feel free, but this is not a me thing, this is like you thing. That didn't turn out so well. No. It's a me thing. I another five digits of fucking payments on it. I'm like, awesome, yeah, okay. It's that's like nickel and diming. You know what, we need to have a taco truck. I'm like, do we really need a taco truck? We need a taco truck. I'm like, we got a taco truck. Yep. And then there's all this like the tents alone are like $2,000. It's just, they absolutely just destroy you. And like flowers, there's just like even like a couple bundles of flowers is like $500. And so yeah, just basically, you know, just get prepared for like our big day.
How long have you and your girl been together? Like a long time.
11 years.
Yeah. Okay.
We've been engaged for 6 of those years. So like basically to the courts and like with the kids and all that,
nothing
if she
changes.
Were to take me to court, and it's basically like, if you know, 50-50, it's, you know, common law. So I call my law wife. So I've always been calling her my wife.
Nothing
so
is going to change.
People kind of think that we're actually married this whole time, but yeah, I know it's literally just a title at this point.
Yep. All right. Fair enough. All right. So we're going to see a skinny Brent come NHL 25. Excellent, because you're fat. Stu, what have you been up to? Are you coaching or anything, or what's new?
No. I just been going to Blues games and playing
more
LB
than normal. I'd
say I've gone to more recently, just because the season's about to be over and I don't think they'll make the playoffs. But I've been trying to go to some games when I can with my buddies and stuff like that before the season ends, because we have our tickets, obviously. So, and then Cardinals are next week. They start tomorrow, but I'm going to the home opener, so we have tickets for them too. So
that's sick.
It'll be cool to be back at Busch. I haven't been there in a while, so yeah, not much.
Fair enough. I have not been home, and I am slowly going insane. First year of traveling where it feels like a job, which is not ideal. You know, you don't want to ever be there. You're not blessed to get to go to all these places and whatnot. But as of the recording of this, I just got back from New York on Monday afternoon. I was there since I was there for 4 days for the North American Championship. I fly to D.C. in about 12 hours. So for another 4 days. And then one more time next week on Friday, I'm in New York for the World Championship Finals. Four straight weekends of at least 4 days out of the country. And I'm just like, you know, it coincided with the launch of MLB, which is really giving me, like, as a creator, like, just the worst anxiety. It's the one thing. Imagine, like, because it's like, I know I have to work and post videos and stream and all this, but, like, I literally can't. It is, it's tough. So I'm trying
intense
to, like,
FOMO right now, right?
I'm trying to remain calm and know that, like, when I come home April 9th, I just go as hard as I can. And, you know, I missed out on this month doing a lot. It's the first time in my career where doing an event, I don't want to say cost me money, but I didn't really make money. Does that make sense? Like, I missed out. Dude, drops on for MLB. I promise to all my NHL listeners, we won't be talking about MLB, but there was drops on Twitch. I'm just trying to exercise my point here. There was drops on Twitch. Yeah, this weekend, where anyone streaming MLB, if someone was in your stream, they would get packs. Like, the viewer base was just absolutely insane. The directory had like 20,000 viewers. I would have streamed all 48 hours. And just the ad revenue alone, let's not even say I got any subs, would have been pretty substantial. You know, so I still love doing what I'm doing in terms of, like, casting esports and like that. But it was definitely the first time where it wasn't, you know, like, I definitely missed out. And, you know, it'll be tough. Like, I think the condensed schedule. Let me ask you this. Do you guys, no, we'll save that. We'll save that for the actual better segue. I want to talk about team of the season real quick off the rip, because it just got announced that it is coming Thursday, because Friday is a holiday. So, Stu, last year you were still playing NHL because the GWC was on, I believe, when it dropped. Like, you were still in it. Obviously, you guys aren't going to pay attention as much now because HUD is over for you, essentially. But that being said, it's definitely a little bit later this year. Right, Brent? I think.
Well, no, like, timing-wise for the event?
Yeah, like, it feels later.
I think it's the same. It's usually March, right? Something like that.
This, like, is like almost March, April.
Early
though.
April.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
March, early April is about right. It's just that GWC ended so early that it feels like it's coming late.
Yeah, true, 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 true. Let's do, it's only 3 weeks, so they confirmed that it is only 3 weeks long. So going off of older prior years, right, you've got European, North American, and then usually there's like Young Guns.
It would be Young Guns.
Like, and Community.
I would put money on it.
So,
but yeah, like we were saying, though, Community is probably just more based on these cards that they're throwing through those polls to get, like, the community, like, those community cards. So I understand that I only need 3 weeks now, because they keep firing out those cards every month. Everyone likes, like, the Tyler Myers 92 overall and all these new ones that came out just last week with, like, the Hal Gill and all that. I understand why they don't need to do, like, a fourth week of Community Team of the Year at this point.
No, absolutely. And that's the thing. So you think that it's Community that takes the axe there and Young Gun stays in?
If I were a betting man, yep.
Yeah. I'm curious about the European one. Like, usually it's like European NHLers and like European players. There's been so few European cards that, like, part of me wonders if it's like European NHLers.
Like fully, like 12 European NHLers.
Yeah,
I guess he's going like 9-3. I can't imagine them axing them out completely, but they'll end up throwing. They'll throw a few. Like, I'm sure one guy from like each league will get one, and a couple get D man and maybe a goalie.
So you think Young Guns would be first then, right?
Usually is. Yeah,
that'd be my guess. All right, so let's give our predictions quickly on the Europeans. So let's say there's six at least. You'd have to assume there's six NHLers. In terms of forwards, I'm just going to rip off the ones that have the most points right now. Kucherov is a lock, 100%. He is definitely getting. Artemi Panarin already has 100 points. Dude, 43 goals. That's absurd for Panarin, by the way. Because what was his career high beforehand? Let me pull that up.
Was it in the 40s before? I'm pretty sure.
No, he has never had more than 32.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's surprising to me. I didn't realize he was such an assist-heavy guy until this year. Huh.
So he's like, that's absolutely crazy. And then we got Pasternak. So those three are 100% guaranteed team of the season. You've got Rantanen at 97 points, Nylander at 94, who's got one more point than Matthews.
Yeah. And then Draisaitl. Honestly, those are probably your six right there. Who comes out for Patterson or something? Maybe Patterson could come out because of but I don't know. Like, he's trailing behind by more than 10 points compared to those first six.
It's crazy. I do wonder if they're going to do a six instead of three. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can make an easy argument that Patterson can get in there, Philip Forsberg can get in there, and Aho kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
And these won't be picked. These haven't been picked in prior to it because it's they don't need the card art. You know what I mean? It's usually just headshots. Because you got Philip Forsberg, too, who's got 81 points. He's been nasty for Nashville, by the way. He has been awesome. So that'll be interesting to see. Yeah, definitely the European one. The North American one, McKinnon, McDavid, those are locks. Man, a lot of Europeans. McKinnon's one at 123 points. McDavid's third. It's unbelievable that McDavid's 4 points back of the NHL lead. When you think at the beginning of the, I remember there was a
he was point way back
at McDavid where he was plus 500 to win the Rocket or the Art Ross. And it's that's nuts that he came on like that. So then you've got, all the way down at number eight is Austin Matthews. And then JT Miller at 91, Sam Reinhart with his 51 goals. My question is, does Zach Hyman get in? As he's only got 70 points. He's got 51 goals and 19 assists. That is
honestly
nuts.
The fact that he plays for a Canadian team, I think they give it to him because of that. Because all your Oilers fans are going to be loving that card. I can see it for sure. Yep. They give him a fat boost.
100%.
I know that will be on Benny's theme team for sure.
Absolutely. First line left winger. I don't care what speed. Give me him.
Let's talk about goaltenders real quick in terms of North American. Dude, Jonathan Quick is leading – or sorry, Jonathan Quick among starters has a .916 save percentage, which is crazy. But he's only played 24 games, so he's definitely – I would say Connor Hellebuck. Is at a .920 save percentage and 53 points, so he's probably a lock. Dude, second place in save percentage among starting goaltenders, Joey DeCord. Unbelievable. .917, he's tied with Talbot. And St. Louis is Joel Hofer. Is he, a real thing?
Hell.
Stu? Yeah, do you think
he's going to be real good. I think we have the best goaltending tandem in the league.
Swayman and
Allmark. I think we're better than
the moodiest goalie in the league.
I think we're better than. Everyone says that. You guys just watch Twitter.
It's just Twitter. It's just. Yeah, it's just. Bennington's hothead.
Narrative. You think I've watched a Blues game this year? You mean?
Yeah. The narrative. Dude, honest to God, go look at his advanced stats. Not you, but just people out there. Go look at his advanced stats. He's top three in Vezina voting right now. Bennington is. If you look at his advanced stats, it's ridiculous. He's had an unreal year. The team's garbage, defensively.
So it is pretty impressive.
The fact that those two are playing as good as they're playing, that's why I say I think we have a better tandem than Swayman and Ullmark, just because that's a good team. I don't think the Blues are that good.
I guess that's true. That's a good.
They're in the much. That's why I hate when the Blues do or just any team being in the mushy middle is the worst.
100%.
Then you just get the stupid.
Ask Calgary for the last 15 years.
You get the first round pick where you're let's try to hit on, I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean?
DeBrusque. You know what I mean? Those three in the middle, bro.
Like all of our picks, think about it. So we traded Ivan Barbashev to Vegas, right? We got back Zach Dean. Zach Dean played his first game for us. He played 6 minutes and it's just okay, cool. It's another third or fourth liner. You know, it's just it's all those kind of guys that over the years, that we traded for. That we gave away Tarasenko, O'Reilly, all those guys, and it's you always just we haven't gotten back anything that's crazy. It's actually stunning that Robert Thomas, friend of the podcast, is a number one center in the NHL now, and he was a 20 something overall pick. What a hit.
They would be in a world of hurt without him.
He made team of the season this year.
Actually, he might.
He's 23rd in scoring in the league.
Yeah, he's right behind. What do they consider young guns?
That's usually it's 23 and under.
Is he 24?
Is he 24? He is 24.
What a shame.
Yeah, he's 24. Yeah.
He has an honorable
mention this year, maybe.
I mean, dude, if Clappy can get him in there, you know he's going
to. Oh, yeah, he loves Robert Thomas.
He'll make an exception. I mean, it's kind of funny, like, on the mock Team Canada stuff, I've been seeing a lot of the insiders putting him on their fourth line.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
100%. I mean, dude, that's one thing that I've seen change a lot recently. Just with, like, they're like, no way Binnington could be the Team Canada goalie. It's like, dude, now with Aiden Hill, the way he's faltered since like the beginning, like, don't get me wrong, Vegas as a whole has faltered, but they were so hot and everyone was like stroking them off and stuff. But now it's like Stuart Skinner, Aiden Hill, and then now it's like, I mean, dude, those would be probably the three guys for Canada, I would think.
Binnington
would definitely
make it. Yeah.
I mean,
it's crazy this nowadays. This way, there's probably like 8 U.S. goalies that are than any of the Canadians right now. Like, easily, like, the top 3 for the U.S. would probably be what? Hellebuck, Demko, and sorry, I'm missing. Who would be the other guy? It's like an obvious number 3. Hellebuck, Demko, and somebody else.
Swayman,
I would say. There might even be another one, but there's like so many that would easily be Canada's number 1 goalie.
I mean, we'll see, too.
Unanimously.
Joey DeCor keeps playing this way.
Ottinger, yeah. Yes, thank you. That's who it was.
Ottinger is the other one, yeah.
Like,
do you remember growing up that Russia could never make a goaltender? Like, remember when Nabokov was a starter of Team Russia?
Yeah. No, they could never have a defenseman either. Well, remember, they had the most loaded forwards, and they'd have, like, this AHL-quality decor that honestly...
Kovalev was pretty much it.
And remember even, like, when 2010, like... Orlov or whatever was like their first pairing D-man. It's like, yeah, it's a tough look.
Dude, now, like, dude, it's like, you know, like Sorokin and Shesterkin, Vasilevsky. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Those are all Russians, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Those will be their 3, yeah.
Dude, imagine, like, those are your 3 goalies? Like, that's nuts to me. And I'm pretty sure Askarov is Russian, too, right?
Yeah, he is.
And he's going to be good.
He's their future. Yeah.
Like the problem is, the minute they want to run Saros out of Nashville, he goes on a 18 out of 20 game heater.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Dude, I predicted on our podcast in the year that just for fun kind of thing. And I think just like a weird year, the Leafs win the cup. I'm literally getting like 2019 Blues vibes from the press. And then go figure O'Reilly's right in the thick of it all, right? Yeah. So it's like, the way they just play is just – I watched that game last night against Vegas, and don't get me wrong, Vegas on a back-to-back, but my goodness, like, that was crazy. They were up – I think it was 3-1.
It was 4-1.
And then I walked out of the room, and it was like 3-2. I'm just like, what is going on? It was a crazy game. I don't know. It was nuts.
So, team of the season. Last year, Benny, I think you played long into the year, and I think you did too, Brent. Like – Team of season cards, they used to be, okay, no matter what, they're going to be guaranteed 99s. But, like, last year, I don't think every card hit 99.
They were.
Oh, no. There was only the guys that were fantasy cards. It was really weak, actually, last year. Like, there was very few that you would even used on your GWC team last year.
It was, like, Nuge. Nuge was the big one. If you
It was Hunt for the fantasy equivalents.
Yeah.
Hunt for Nylander.
Yeah.
I think that's something that, like, people need to remember going into the team of the season is that, like, yeah, they're not – they used to be guaranteed. Like, everyone, they would just give charity upgrades at 99. But it's now not the case, especially what we've seen with the fantasy cards. Because now the fantasy event as a whole going to next year, like, I probably won't even take part in it because you assume all risk. And, you know, like, they don't give you make rights if that player gets injured for a majority of the season, stuff like that. So it's like, you know, and then they do the fantasy thing. You guys see the fantasy cards they came out with near the end of the year? Low key, like, would love, like, multiple sections of that throughout the season. Because I actually thought that was pretty sweet. They come up with 6 cards that could hit 99, and they start at 94 or whatever. So I thought that was kind of cool, too. But team of the season, going to cost a ton. And it's really... If you are not a competitive player, not many people are, that is, we said last episode that, like, you know, once the open play weekend or the first round of the bracket play of GWC, it's kind of the end of the game. Once team of the season hits, like, if you are still playing afterwards, that's like regularly, like, that is the end.
The casual part of the game is pretty much at that point where it turns into gigantic monster hut at that point.
Another thing I want to bring up too, an interesting thing that they did you guys see that squad battle thing?
No.
So adding 4 times the points.
Yeah. So what they did was I couldn't understand. So I asked in the Game Changer chat. So basically what happened was that They came up with this thing where from Wednesday to Sunday, you get 4 times the points in squad battles. And I like the idea of it, but the problem is that you basically now have 4 days to play squad battles. Because if you don't, like, there's no point in playing squad battles because it's not a static rank you need to hit. It's ranked amongst your peers. So all that you've done is really just 4 times the 1,000 people that play squad battles, so it really doesn't change anything. But so I was like, why? Like, what is the point here? And it appears that, like, they're trying to get people to play their squad battles games earlier. And I couldn't, I didn't ask why, but that was the reason that was given. But then I was like, I wonder if it's to try and get people to have their squad battles games done by Sunday so that Monday and Tuesday there's actually people in the ranked queue. Like in Rivals.
Okay.
Because they're seeing like exceptionally low Rivals numbers. It takes a long time to find a Rivals game now. Really? So
I wouldn't know. I don't
yeah,
play
it's
anymore.
Interesting. Like it's Rivals. Yeah. It's interesting like that seems to be the thing because it's definitely an issue. I think that next year something that's always been so mind boggling to me is that we have an offline game mode where you are ranked online. Like it should never be that. Yeah. It should be
static points gets you to a certain tier and that's it.
If you 100%. Max out all of your games and did, you know,
perfect on everything, your 5 goals and your 20 shots, you should get rank one rewards.
Even not rank one, because you get 100K at rank one. But let's say even elite one. No, that's bad. Because if you max out, you're going to get elite one no matter what. So
I don't know.
One above
14
it.
Hours of your time. I think you deserve 100K in those packs.
That's funny. Yeah, but then you have to give an online equivalent.
Make it the same for online too. Or if you get like thresholds for ultimate and stuff like that.
I'm all for the players getting a ton of stuff, but you have to understand like the impact that means. That means every card has like no value. It's just like inflation, right? Like you've put 100,000 a week into like 100, like you know, 1,000 players. That means everyone has way more coins, right? I see what you're saying. Maybe it's just packs and no coins, but there should be like you hit that level, that's it. It's not like, oh, I got a bad roll of rerolls, so I didn't, you know. What does one overall for a team make it that much more difficult? Like, no, it doesn't. So silly. I hope they fix that. But it was interesting that I saw that they're trying to change up the format weekly. So that was kind of interesting. So team of the season, we'll see what happens in terms of the launch. Very little marketing, too. Team of the year gets this crazy thing, you know, and we just find out this one little static image a day beforehand.
You guys want me to leak the team of the season?
Yeah, let's see. Who do we got? You have a big tweet tomorrow from Stu going over who it is hours beforehand.
Friday.
We'll see what that is, and then we'll react to it next week. But let's get into something that was not a pretty hot button topic in the community, but more so just online in general. I think it sparked a pretty good, maybe a boiling point from the NHL World Championship this week.
Oh, I thought you were talking about team builders.
No. We'll talk about team builders at the end. We'll talk about content as a whole because, like, you know, we'll talk about the World Championship right now. So this past weekend, it was in New York, in Manhattan, at the flagship NHL store, so their biggest one. And there was a picture. I think it was Reject. He was a competitive sixes player who was at the event, I think, or got sent a picture of it. And it was like the 4 guys playing their round robin game. So 8 players qualified throughout the bracket and got sent to New York. 8 players played 2 groups of 4, played a round robin against each other. And then the top 2 in each division moved on to the Sunday, which was the broadcast. And, you know, they qualified for Worlds in 2 weeks. But where they were playing was not the best look, as again, it was in the store. So it wasn't a gaming setup. It was in the store. And the specific where they were playing their round robin games was not broadcasted. So the setup was it was literally bare bones. It was monitors on a table sitting next to each other. Not a good look. And someone tweeted
that
out.
That was the nicest way you could have put it. I'm going to put a little more harsh.
No. We can get very critical here. I want to get the quote from Reject because this is what I would love to see the numbers on this tweet. 77,000 views on this tweet. He goes, anyone that hasn't seen it, it's VX Reject on Twitter. It says, absolutely pathetic. Feel absolutely gutted for these awesome guys who spent all year grinding the game to play on 2 tables in a store. We play more for the experience and the money, and the fact that it's neglected is pathetic. I left out a lot of F words there. Do better at NHL. And we got to talk about that. I feel like this is a talking point we can discuss. Again, I think that there is stuff that goes on in the background that a lot of players aren't privy to. So I would like to massage those lines, but I would also like the feedback of people that have, well, Benny, who's qualified and participate in these events, and you guys who compete at them almost to the part where Lance, but very far into the tournament. So let's get your thoughts. So Stu, you probably have the most, actually, Brent was kind of hot buttoned. Brent, you go first. You were fired up. I mean, Brent, go first.
Okay. There's just so many places that they could have done this in North America that would have been a better option. Like, even
examples, we're constructive.
In Richmond, so in Vancouver and specifically Richmond, there is like this Richmond gaming like studio where they've done like the Canucks one twice. Well, actually, because one of them was COVID year, so one of them they did it where it's already like set up to have like these kind of events. So it's like, why are we going? Yeah. And there's like, even on Twitter though, there was that picture. There's a picture of like the Sixes, like LAN event. There's like all these different venues that we've had before, and then to do it at a store with like Buddy grabbing a Stars jersey off the rack 18 times in a row.
Oh, the B-roll was bad. Yeah,
it was just, you know, it's just not a good look when you see NHL 19 GWC and the production value, having it Sportsnet Studios and all, it looked good. It looked professional. It looked exciting to then be in a store with the background being just like a bunch of jerseys, and it looks like then you got guys walking through like to go and buy like merch.
My favorite tweet. Hang on, I gotta find this tweet. I gotta give my man
Deke Slayer.
Oh my god! First of all, oldest guy in the community had the best tweets to this, where there was no matter what side you fell on. Like, it was just absolutely hilarious. I would love, hang on, I don't know if I can find it.
Surely a picture of, like, Het Target is, like, next year's, like leaked of next year's, like, event location.
Just, it was absolutely wild. But, GWC 2026, it's literally at, like in Walmart. it was harsh. It was harsh. And it definitely felt like a boiling point. But, yes, the, Stu, you give your thoughts. Give your thoughts, because then I'll go last.
So it needs to be better. I'll just say that I'm not going to overly criticize it, because
you got to give an example of what that would be.
So better would be just last year. Nothing was wrong with Washington last year. Now the price of how much it costs, this is where I will get to this. We don't know the cost of these places, how much it costs to run out. I will say we started in, I saw the tweet, somebody put it up. We started in We started in Vegas at a massive arena, which is not feasible. They did that for 2 years. Then COVID happened, right?
So it was 2 years. The first year was at HyperX. And I think the second 19. Year was at both the HyperX. Yeah. Both, and then,
COVID.
COVID, yeah.
And then after COVID again. COVID again. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the first thing coming out of COVID was
2022
Montreal.
Montreal at a bar. And I know Benny played at the bar, but it's still. And I know it was set up like better than what we saw this weekend, but it's a big jump down. Yeah. I told you this weekend, in my opinion, as a fan of watching it or whatever, I didn't even get to watch it all, but I caught bits and pieces of it. I saw enough, right? I don't care about seeing CJ142 and Gren and whoever else was in the stands in Vegas. John, I have this image in my brain because John Wayne always plays the same clip when he does his and I see him all waving the flags around. Like, no one cares about that, because if I'm Jim from Delaware or whatever, like I don't know who these people are in the stands. The fans do nothing. The main thing is you guys broadcasting it. The cleanness of how it looks, which I thought the Europeans, it looked clean, right? It was very simple, clean, unison, simple. See the players well, cameras are good, lighting's good, that's it. I don't think the crowd matters. I watch Madden shows or the Madden thing. They don't have a crowd like in like some of their venues. Like, most of them are pretty simple, clean. I just think that's all that matters, is just get to the crux of the thing, show it. You're going to bring all these eight guys out, have play, show the whole stream, you know what I mean? Like, not just show the ending, and I get that, you know, there's time constraints. I get all this stuff. But back to the main thing is the price. I mean, we run a company here. If I told we run a vending machine company, I was telling you this the other day, We're putting that Prime hydration drink, which is huge around the country in a bunch of places. If we invest, like let's say you put a bunch in and it doesn't do good, well, we're not getting a return on our investment. Okay. They did a lot of stuff for the first few years. They probably didn't get a return on their investment. You can see the numbers on Twitch. You know what I mean? Take away the paying, the, you know, thing that we talked about, the homepage, take away that, it's probably 800 to maybe 1,000 at the max viewers. You're not going to get your return on your investment in terms of just, you know, renting out these studios, flying all the kids out, hotels, food, per diem, all, I mean, I mean, there's so much more to it. The thing is that people need to understand though, is like there's a middle ground, I think, that you can get to where it's cool. It's still like it's a marquee event, but it's not, you know, maybe the huge stadium, but it's also not in a store. And like I said, we went from that to the bar. And like, for example, when you guys played on the beach in Florida, Benny, and you broadcasted it, so I thought that was actually like, if
that was
you
acceptable.
If you that look background at the scope is still of the it, best ever,
right? If you look at the scope, so like if I'm there and I walk up, I'm like, it's in a tent, you know what I mean? But on our side, all we see is the cool water.
That's true, yeah.
Leaves in the back, and then you just see the players zoomed in. You don't know any different. You know what I'm saying? So it's like it's just like the way that it was portrayed, and then but like this weekend you see it, right? And it looks like the dudes all grabbed a chair. Like, all right, everyone grab a folding chair. Let's get around. Let's get in the circle here. And let's talk about NHL. Because you have all the players that are waiting crammed in this little area between the racks. And then it's like, oh, on aisle two, Gren, can you report to aisle two and come play? Like, and he's over in aisle two. And then you got, like, the checkout counter over here. And from what I heard, the players, and I'm not trying to be like, it's just funny, though. Like, sometimes you guys got to laugh, right?
Like, oh, like I said, some of the tweets were creative.
I'm not even, like, mad. Like, it's just, but the point is like, you know, like, the guys that are watching, they couldn't even see the two players playing because the clothes racks are in the way. I mean, it's just, it was a very forced type of feeling. And that's fine. Like I said, like, they did what they could. I just really wish, like, you know, I thought Washington was fine last year, or go back to what you guys did at the Red Bull studio for Toronto, right? Like, that was a great setup. Like, I was talking to Owe this week, and he's like, you know, I'd be more than welcome to helping out and bringing it here. We can do it here, you know, whatever. So, like, there's the solution, right? Like, I mean, I think there's different studios, and you know that the final obviously is not in the store. It's, like, in a studio. It's just, like, I told you this the other day, and this will be my last – I know this is a long-winded thing, but – and Benny and Papa, since you actually play in it too, like I do, I think this would be the best. It would double, like, I don't know, maybe like what the GWC per se would get out. I think they would get like less complaints out of like the allure of it, the magnitude of it, if they did something like this. And I think EA would be happy because it would keep all of us playing the game. I told Sleaze this the other day. I think you split to two tournaments. Let's just say the grand, I'm making up a number. Grand prize is 20 grand all together for like prize pool, right? So let's just say, split the 10 grand, the 10 grand, right? The halfway tournament is the All-Star game. So you have everybody come to the All-Star game. You have your halfway tournament, and it's the same magnitude as the very end tournament. I don't think you need to have like a massive build up all the way to the end. And then it's like, oh, you know, here, I mean, it's whatever. Like at the end of the day, like, you know, I don't,
you think that, so you don't think that there should be a world champion?
You can just call it the world championship or like
you can call it. I just think that the luster, regardless, loses luster as time goes on.
Like less people don't care as much because they're not in it. Yes,
because it's like it's June. We're all going outside. We're playing. You know, playing like in previous years, right? Like, you know, we're outside. We're watching baseball. We're hanging out with our kids outside. People are doing different things. Like, no one's like, oh, let me go inside and watch, you know, these kids in Nashville on a stage in 98 degree heat and sweat. And like, I bet you the views last year of All-Star probably had, well, the real views had more views at the All-Star game last year than the actual GWC final. I wouldn't be surprised.
Because of the timing. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And the tournament, but the tournament was lesser, right? It's lesser. So what I told you is have an All-Star game tournament. So it's a cool, you know, players have to go to the All-Star game. You have a cool setup and then drag it all the way out again. And here's the thing. If you
wait, you're saying the second one is in the draft and awards.
I'm saying at the Stanley Cup finals.
Yeah, no, I actually agree. That's a better idea.
I think
if you can't do the Cup final,
yeah, I don't know if they do the Cup final.
I don't know the location.
Not even that. Like, I just feel like the NHL doesn't want to fight itself.
You could do a Stanley Cup final and just have it in New York, but then call it like the Gaming World Championship Stanley Cup final or something like that.
Yeah.
And that way, like you theme it around the cup, and you have an award that is like the cup. You know what I mean? Like you just do. I know it's not that far fetched, Donnie, in my opinion, because my thing is, we shouldn't be done playing. Like, I understand we can all play the game tomorrow. I get it. But why? And I'm saying, like, there's so many people like me and Brent who have, like, not a huge shot at winning, but we're good. But there's a lot of people that even less than us that stop playing. Like, there's a lot of dudes that stop playing or even don't even care to play. So my point is, I know in years past, you know, Sleaze, you're like, people talked about dragging it out. My thing is, if we know in October, September, November, oh, we have to play until June, we're all going to do it. I tell Benny, would you not keep playing?
Brett, would you keep playing? Absolutely, dude.
I'm surprised.
Keep going.
Would it drag a little bit? Sure. But there'd be times where it's like, oh, okay, you know. But that's also because of the game, too. We've already gone on that. So, yeah. You know, we've beaten that horse dead. That's the game. But what I'm saying is EA looks at this like, okay, so you guys keep doing this tournament longer? Sure. And then hopefully the GWC looks at it like, okay, well, maybe the interest will still be there too. More than, you know what I mean? Because if you make it kind of the same kind of thing where, like I said, the All-Star Game's a marquee event, the two marquee events for the league are the All-Star Game and the draft.
Yeah.
And like I said, if you don't call it like, call the World Championship Final, I'm just saying like, there needs to be like more of like a Stanley Cup feel to it, in my opinion, because that's like the main thing in hockey, right? Like maybe even make a goofy, gimmicky Stanley Cup and you put their name on it and you put the when they won it and like, you know, kind of like how they write the player's name, like just make something, you know, and then maybe
the tag on it in the year,
you know, and like they keep the award at the NHL keeps it whatever the for the whole year, the people, and they just bring it to the next event, right? And then they give you a little cup to take home or something, just like the players in real life. Like I've been like, whatever, this people are going to say name drop. Okay, whatever. Sorry. Petro's house, he has little Stanley Cups from when he's won, like the two cups, right? And they're that's like for the player to keep because obviously they can't keep the big one.
Yeah, you can't get the big one.
So I don't know. I think it's a good idea.
So you're, I just want to get like understood so I understand. You're saying that the condensed schedule where it was done by the end of the year, so the World Championship will be in 2 weeks, and it's a week before the end of the thing. You're saying that is not a good thing.
For the game,
it turns out it's actually a bad thing. Actually, no, I remember before.
This is okay. This is a wild reverse because we can.
It is. We were saying in previous years, make it faster so that it's more relevant. Yes. But now the problem is there's no more dangling carrot, and everyone that plays competitively goes, I don't have anything to chase anymore.
This right here, this conversation, I'm with you. This actually makes sense to me.
Can I say this?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not. I don't want to forget this. It was more the fact that I'm making up. I don't remember the exact dates. I could pull it up.
Yeah.
It was the fact that you would like make it in March and then wait until June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So like, I think it just needs
maybe to, there's 2 months off from the after the All-Star.
Off. But here's the way that you fix it. You extend the qualifiers out further. You ditch the North American final. So here you think Europe, you get your European Cup thing at the same time as the All-Star game. So you have your tournament. They still get to come over here. You know what I'm saying?
So it's like a world, like it's the world final. Okay,
it's a world. I just think it should be more of like a Stanley Cup, like a feeling of like instead of like a belt. Like this isn't WWE, this is hockey. You know, and so my point is it was that lull. And Benny, like, would you agree with that lull? It's like it's a tough lull because you're like
you don't want to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Like
that's the problem.
Those times when you'd win a series or two that one weekend, and then it's like, all right, 3 weeks later, see ya. Like, see you then. Like, that was frustrating, but I think at the same time, like, I think I was talking about this with Guy the other day. Imagine if they just did one series a weekend the whole way there. It kind of like football, where, like, you prepare that whole week for that one series that weekend.
That's pretty
like,
interesting.
That's spacing it out, but at the same time, like, the carrot's not too far. It's right there. It's that weekend. Like, it's like, it's just like, obviously, that's a lot of commitment.
This
you
right
give.
Here, this conversation, all good ideas and all makes a lot of sense. You have to understand, for anyone that, you know, like, I saw a lot of people asking, like, what my feedback is. I don't play in the tournament anymore. I don't give my feedback on what I think a player would want because I don't play in it. It's not mm-hmm. fair. It's the same thing how I handle being a game changer. I don't give my feedback on sixes. That's not smart of me. If my voice is listened to and I don't play sixes ever, that's not a net positive, right? So I have now, this is my third season doing it. So I'm a broadcaster. I'm just on air talent. I try to improve and make the broadcast as best as possible. This right here is why running this tournament is so damn difficult. Because last year, if I were to pool mm-hmm. you guys and everyone else, it dragged on too long. And we want it over sooner because when we started earlier in the year, it was a better thing that it was ended. We all agreed on it.
It was like I said, it's just that lull. That's the problem the lull.
No. And I understand, like, both things can be true. I think that you saying
it's not the dragging that I ever had an issue with the dragging. It was like the feeling of like, oh crap. Like
we learned that now though.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have this feeling 3 months ago, but now you realize that like, hey, being out longer isn't a bad thing.
No. But I always felt like it was too long or like the lull was too long. I'm telling you. If you spread things out, so like let's pretend All-Star game ends, right? Then we have to qualify for the big one again, right? You spread out the team tournaments more. You know what I mean? We don't need to have 3 team tournaments, 4 team tournaments, 5 team tournaments on one weekend. You get what I'm saying? So maybe have 2 max every weekend. You get what I'm saying? Or
yes.
That kind of thing. Or, you know, I'm just saying,
at the beginning of the year,
Cut out the North American tournament. Cut out the European qualifier
to get the world.
Here's the thing: waste of travel for all you guys. Like, dude, this is not a knock on Gren. Congratulations for winning. Good job. Whatever. But, dude, I was watching the thing, and this is just me. I'm like, cool. Like, cool. He's gonna win more money, but like, we already know who's going. There's no like suspense. Right?
That's another thing. That's the one thing I do want to talk about with this tournament. You know, I've said this because last year when they brought it down to 4 people, because 2 years ago in Montreal, they brought out 8 players in North America to the North American finals, and we didn't see 4 of them. We didn't see the first 4. We got to the semifinal. And I said, if you're going to bring out 8, you got to show them. So the next year, they said, we're only bringing out 4. And I was like, okay, that's a good fix. But then they went back to saying, okay, we're going to bring out 8. I am a firm believer that if you are going to bring out 8, you need to show all 8. They need to find a way to do that, whether it's 2 streams, and there is a cost to doing each stream, a very steep one, more than you would think. But nonetheless, that could be included in work then. You need to figure out how to work that in, where there's 2 broadcasts, because I agree. There is more anticipation for the getting there than there is the person winning $15,000. Now, obviously, if there's a great series and things like that, awesome. I'll give a perfect example, the best example. I remember in 2019, I was in the Canadian Regionals. Josh and Gren played the best esports series in the GWC we've ever seen, and that was to go to Vegas. When you know that the trip to Vegas is on the line, everyone watches that because, you know, it's like, that's a trip, whatever. Seeing some kid win money is like, right? Like, you know what I mean? But once you know who's going to the next stage, it really cheapens that ending. So I remember after that series between Gren and Josh, the very next player, Gren won, and he had to play Nuke. We all left. Like, we all left. We didn't even watch it. We didn't even watch it because it was like they both made it. So it's like, who cares about who's the final? So it's interesting. I think that doing the 2 tournaments, that means that there is definitely a...
Just cutting some of the fat out. That's what I'm saying.
The sentiment going into this year, though, is that the condensed schedule was a positive, and now it's not in that sense. But I think that
I think you can scratch EA's back, and they can, and then it kind of scratches your back too. And I just think, and I also, because in my opinion, if I was running this, and I had I'm not going to say they're headaches, but they kind of are headaches. Some of the, you know, the stadium series, like that's probably a headache to put all that together for, you know, and then you don't, the views aren't as much because there's nothing on the line.
Yeah,
right?
I think
out some of that stuff.
So going back to the original tweet about how we started in Vegas and came back to here, I want to dispel some of this because I feel like a lot of people I'm going to start this. My buddy Tris told me something in business that we can completely relate to this. You can never give someone or a consumer something for free and then charge something for it. It will never do well. It will always have a major backlash, and it will never go well. That is exactly what happened here in reverse, where the GWC, they didn't know what they had in esports, and they went all out. Like, I went in 2019 as a fan. I literally was someone's guest, and I paid my own way there, all of that. I got to see where Cookie was staying. And I, like, now someone that is a talent who gets flown out and I'm in all these places, I'm just like, the cost of the second year, I can't even imagine in comparison to now, right? And here is the thing. I see a lot of people being like, this is how it started and this is how it's here. You've killed growth. There's no growth in GWC. It's like, I want you to go and find me an esport that not only grew, but just survived over the last 3 years. COVID inflated the video game industry, not the video game industry, sorry, the Twitch and esports industry more than it will ever be. everyone stayed at home. Every marketing budget was so inflated because they had nothing to spend their marketing dollars on. It all went into video games.
Everyone just sitting at home on their freaking
computer. It all went into video games. Yeah. And now you're seeing almost every video game company have massive layoffs. Everyone at Twitch, massive layoffs. That's what happens when you overhire to handle the demand of when everything's at its peak. And then you go through the valley of now there's not as much money and there's not as much investment. I still, over the last few years, am stunned that the World Championship is still a thing, simply because esports as a whole, in terms of ROI, is at its lowest. Like, overall. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just hard. It's been figured out. We were at the peak when every company threw as much money as they could, because like, yeah, we want to be involved in gaming. But no one knew what that meant, right? So it's not so much about growth as it is sustainability. Obviously, they want growth, but I think that every year, either the format changes, the locations change, the ideology of it. So the last few years where it was in Montreal and in Nashville, it was tied to an event. So you can't have the same static place because it's tied to an event. This year, they want it done earlier, which again, I thought that almost every competitor would say is a net positive. But again, I think you make a good point about the lulls. But still, like, I think that if you were to poll everyone that said we want this over in April as opposed to June, everyone would have checked off yes. And now it's like, okay, there's a better way to do it, and it's not tied to an event. So now you've got to find it's again changing location. There's no stability, right?
So I pulled up the dates from just last year, and last year was more condensed than it was even in previous years. Because, well, take away the COVID years, but like for example, it's a month almost in between every event.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a month between the North American thing and that you played in Washington, and then it was another month to the Washington final. From the console final to the Washington final to then the draft, it's a month. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's mm-hmm. a long. So what I mean by that is like, that's a huge gap. That's what I'm trying to say. But if
it's also the problem is too is that it's these gaps where guys are still in it. But think about the guys like me that got eliminated in the first round. I'm still out in March and now I have nothing to play for kind of thing. Whereas if there's another tournament, it's all it is. Okay, yeah, I'm out of this one. Now there's the new carrot. There's the next one. There's the stadium series. There's like the Stanley
Cup
series.
That's so interesting. I agree. I think
it's still a reason to be like, okay, I'm still involved. It's like, oh, I still want to watch because I want to see how this turns out. But I know my chance. I still got a chance in the next tournament. Like, take the winnings, spread it across three or four different events. Make one like early. Make one in December when the game is bumping. Have like a Christmas tournament. Have a February tournament. Have a April tournament, have a June tournament, and then call it for the year. And like, because like people more care about the prestige of winning than they do about the money. Like, sure, yeah,
the money is definitely the second thought. The money is the second thought.
Only one guy's winning. What's first place again? 50k is the max you can get. 50k, right?
Or
is
it even less than that? 15, and then I think you win.
Okay,
I think I
don't remember what the damn prize pool is. Yeah, because I'm not gonna fucking win it. But like, everyone wants to win the tournament, like, as much as, like, you're going to be like, I won the tournament, not like, oh, I won 5K or, oh, I won 20K. You just want to win.
So the way I meant to, like, to drag it out, too, instead of condensing all the club championships in a tiny, like, little, like...
Get rid of them.
Well,
get rid of the club championships.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're going to have them, the way that, like, to go to Brent's point, and this is my theory that you could have, right? You spread them out. You either do two a weekend or one a weekend, whatever, from, let's make up
32 weeks is half over half the year, though.
Right, but, like, I'm saying, like, you'd have two, whatever.
Oh, two,
right?
Like, instead that'd be 16 weeks. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, so All-Star, let's just use, like, last year's dates as an example. Like, All-Star Game Finals on February 2nd. So right after All-Star Game, you start doing club championships all the way until you do this, like, Stanley Cup Final per se. That's what I'm trying to say. That way, and here's another thing that you could throw in there for the kids that, you know, think that winning $1,000 is like the end all be all. You allow every single nerd in the entire world, whether they win one or not, whatever, they can play in every single weekend, no matter what. Now, they can't rep every team, obviously. Yeah. But if they win, so if Benny wins 16 club championships, then he wins $1,000 16 times. But guess what? He only gets to rep the, like, he has to pick one of, you know what I mean? And it's the next person up in line. Because guess what? The lease was that way. When Regs and Bluen was going to lease, we were like, oh, well, they're the lease reps because the other two guys already qualified. Like, no one cared about that.
Yeah.
So my point is no one cares about the, like, oh, he's the Seattle Kraken rep and he won. Like, no one cares.
Yeah,
like,
that, that
cares
because
the teams don't care, too. The fact that the teams don't care, it goes to show that it didn't work, which is fine. Okay,
it's frustrating because I know the teams fight for the club championship, which is just...
Which is crazy because one in six teams actually care.
Yeah, like, I can see where the frustration is there.
Nobody knew in open play who they're representing, by the way.
Yeah.
No one knew.
Yeah. That's great. It's just random.
Larsenist kept being like, who am I repping? I'm like, I don't know. Who do you want to rep? It's a big team. Like, I mean, no one knew who they were repping. Yep. Me and Brent did and Benny did because we won the championship things, but, like, no one else knew. Mm-hmm. So my whole point is you know, if you have, like, and this is where I love to talk to the people, I have no clue. That's why I'm not saying it needs to be this way. And if it's not this way, I'd love to know if, like, hey, we can't do it because of this reason, or, hey, we have to have the clubs involved. So then you think a different way.
Yeah.
When I understand the whole dragging out is – I'm trying to think of it as a business person. So I'm thinking from EA standpoint, right? And like I said, EA wants me and Brent and Benny to keep playing the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I think that it's just so funny because we fought for, like, the...
Well,
not
I'm thinking
proper,
as,
like, yeah.
I'm thinking as both.
Oh, it's an interesting idea.
I'm not thinking of just as a competitive player because I'm sitting here watching this game just die right now. You know what I mean? And people can roll their eyes. People can roll their eyes and laugh at me and say, oh, Padre, I'm still playing. I'm still finding games. Okay, wait, great, whatever, man. But guess what, dude? Like, I should be playing this game like I did when I was a kid till the Stanley Cup Finals because that's what I used to do.
Yeah.
You know, and if I need a tournament, a carrot to chase, then I need one. Guess what, though? We already have this tournament in place, and it used to go all the way. So why not just, like, revamp it a little bit, and we all still play Hut Champs every weekend? I mean, it's crazy. It really is. But – like I said, I get what you're saying. I sound like a hypocrite. I sound like whatever.
No. I think that
I'm trying to be.
Yeah, like I was saying, we're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah, wrong. You we did this, like, this is a perfect example would be server based. Everyone cried for dedicated servers. Peer to peer on NHL is definitely the way to go. We were all wrong on that. You don't know until it happens, right? The condensed schedule, like, we, dude, by June, man. Like, those guys that even were playing were like, man, I still got to play the game, right? But they've been playing for that tournament since October. Like, that specific one. That's, like, that's where it is. But if they play till the All-Star one, and then it's like, okay, I don't want to keep playing.
I'm done. Yeah. Exactly. Because you can opt out. You're like, I don't want to play in the 10K June championship. I want to, like, call it for the year. That's totally fine. Instead of being like, I have to play right now because this is the whole reason to play the entire season.
And okay, so, like, to give, like, the magnitude, because, like, we if you don't want to have them the same, okay, let's just say, like, first place for the cup final is 10K, first place for the All-Stars 5K. I'm making up numbers. But like, the allure of winning the cup is the big thing. You know what I mean? I know it's a stupid cup, but we were all grew
fun
up,
as hell.
We all grew up on bragging rights.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to see Rags, Ecky, all
the
these
2K League? The 2K League does this. So the 2K League, they draft, and they have their 3-on-3 season. And it's for hundreds of thousands of dollars. Then the 3-on-3 season ends, and they go to 5v5. Do you know when the 2K season ends?
No, I have no clue.
In retrospect to the cycle of the game, about 2 weeks before the launch of the next game.
Wow, that's cool.
And so when you think of it like that, if that is the end-all be-all of sports esports, like, if that is, like, the pinnacle, what everyone compares sports gaming esports to, and they go until the very end of the cycle, that's kind of like something that's kind of jarring.
In Benny,
it all depends on the game too, though, because, like, think like NHL 21. Everyone played 21 I played it till September. Mm-hmm. I took a month off before. But if the game is good, you will keep playing. And dangling in September, like what 2K has. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't play 2K, but I'm assuming 2K is good enough where people want to play up until weeks to 2 weeks before the new game.
Yeah, and Benny, let me ask you a question, because I never made it that far. I made it, like, relatively far the one COVID year where, like, I started, like, kind of like a lull. I had, like, a month before I played again, I remember. And that was online. That's the kind of thing I was like, why are we – that was part of it, too, that year. So it's kind of, like, tough to compare, like, last year, because last year was our first year back, right, where, like, the years before were online. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, we're just sitting in our house, like – we can play right now. You know what I mean? Like, why am I waiting a month to play John Wayne? And then he has to play another.
That was
weeks.
Because of the streams. Like, I think, I like, it. Yeah. And that, because that was the streams. But no, they don't need that now. They don't need that.
Right. Right. So my thing is, so, like, I'll use Benny's name. Like, well, the Montreal year, right. The thing that made it, like, for Benny is all the dudes like me, Papa, like go down the list of, like, let's say there's 100 people that play the game competitively, like 80 of the 100 or 85 of the 100 are gone. Like, so Benny's sitting there like,
I can't even play Hutch Champs,
right? Like, no one, there's no one to play Hutch Champs against. There's no one to play against. Like, and that's where it gets like, wow, I'm bored. You know what I mean? Even if you're still playing for the grand prize. Am I right, Benny?
Absolutely. I remember, and it even got down to a point where I remember when they eliminated the one guy in the top four of each console. And I remember I had to play Geimer in the final, and Crosby was the guy waiting for the loser between us.
I forgot about Crosby, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah. Have it, like, even scrimming. Like, think about it. I was on PS4 that year, and I scrimmed Crosby 25 times. Yeah. Like, and I was the only guy I could play, right? I think if they're going to – I strongly believe having this tournament go into the summer is what they need. But I think if –
it's so crazy to hear.
I know.
I hope they're gonna listen to this and just be like, "What do they want?" Oh. You know what I mean?
I think even from their side, like, am I wrong for saying that this would help them plan stuff ahead easier?
Yeah,
I think that's something. Like, so I want to touch on this. I think that the tournament desperately needs stability to the point where it is set it and forget it. And a lot of people are like, "That's not how you grow." It's like, man. It's not going anywhere. I knock on wood, right? This is the seventh year of it, right? Growth in esports to the whole, like, it's a video game thing. Like, it's a hockey thing, you know? Like, there's only so many ways that they can improve it to get players. Do you, like, how many times have we done this and it's the same five people? You know? That's not growing.
I guess.
Like, that's not growing it, you know? Stewie, it's funny because Stewie's example of in Nashville, when the kid was a fan, he brought his family out. That one kid was more valuable than 90% of the signups that are just going to sign up every year.
You get a dad of two kids from St. Louis who's a bitter rival of the Predators winning the tournament. It's like, why is that fun?
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's another thing down a rabbit hole where it's like, you got to pick your poison. You know, if we're going to have club championships, do we want to region lock them? Or do you want to not? You know, I mean, we've gone down that whole thing before.
No.
So there's so much. I mean, I say yes. The reason why I say that is because it's a marketing event. And you will still make a team, Brent. Like, that's the thing. You'll still make a team. My point is that in that scenario, if you had region lock, it only needs to be 32 winners. Then it's open play. Do you get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because that way you'll make it easily in open play, no matter what. My point is like, you would be in a spot where you had to be, okay, I gotta play Vancouver. That's the one that's in my thing. If I lose Vancouver, Sap wins, right? Then you go to open play, you'll easily make it. My point is, though, is then you get a legitimate Canucks fan winning. You know,
Benny. I think it goes like this. I think every team can pick someone to represent them. They don't have to compete. They don't. But the team gets to decide that. It's not like, let's say someone controversial wants to be repped, and obviously everyone doesn't want to play an open play. They're like, be a fan. Yeah. Pick me. But the team gets to decide. And if they don't, they just get someone. If they don't care who reps them, then what they're going to get is some random fan of another team anyways. Right.
Yeah.
So if you have these orgs that want to be involved in NHL esports, like the Capitals and the Island, dude, what happened with the Islanders this year? Like, perfect example of the issues that Regs played in the Leafs one, ended up qualifying for the Leafs, and he couldn't rep the Islanders, even though he is legitimately a pro signed by the New York Islanders, right? So I think that to fix the club championship thing is you don't have to run a tournament, you know? All you've got to do is if you want to have someone represent you, then they skip open play, and you push them. That means you pick them, you know? That's it. You picked them. And people can try and get teams to pick them and whatever, but, you know, if they don't know them or want to, and they'll vet them, make sure, you know, like.
And another thing I'll say about the, like, dragging it out, it's part of it too. And Brent, and because, like, I know, Sleaze, you haven't played it because you can't. In my opinion, it's like pedal to the metal from the All-Star game till, like, the bracket, right? Because it's like, if you don't make one of those club championships, you're sitting there like every weekend for like, I didn't do all four weekends. Obviously, like, I don't have time, but like, some people played like all four weekends, still didn't make it. Then they went to the open play. That's a whole week's worth of games. It's like, I mean, it's a lot of chel on top of your normal. If you just spread it out, no one's complaining. everyone's having their busy work to do, basically. And that way, it doesn't feel as like, because here's the thing, like, before sleeves, it was like, pedal the metal, play your bracket, wait around. Okay, play this tournament. All right, wait around. Okay, go to Nashville. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying, like, what I meant by it's like, pedal the metal, lol, play, big lol, play. That's what I meant by when it drags out. Because then you have people like one of our old pals, Mr. F, we'll call him, would always tease me and you like, that thing's still going on? And we're like, yeah, it's still going on. But like, it's because you don't hear about it for like a month. And then it's like,
that's true. That's what I mean.
That's what I meant by like, I know, like I said, I can't stress this enough. I understand the past. I guess the way I like didn't phrase it correctly, like I'm trying to make a point that it's just, it was so like extreme to then like lulls. That's what I meant. So
I want to read one more thing because the criticism of the event, obviously I have a different, I'll say bias. You know, I see it much differently. I know more. I have a much more unique exposure to the event than the casual player who's just watching. And like I said, I think the fact that it is still going is a feat in itself. And I think that they shot themselves in the foot because the first 2 years they went out of the gun firing. That is not sustainable. That is like, if you want growth, I understand that, but you have to make sure that thing survives. And it was not going to in the way that it was the first couple years. But I want, so everyone talked about how, you know, it's unbelievable that we're playing in the store now. And that's the thing. For anyone that doesn't know, the finals will be in a studio, much like the European Championship was. So everyone thought that it would be back in the store for the World Finals. No, I think that they thought that it was a cool, unique backdrop. And had no one seen that picture of them playing on the table, I thought the broadcast, other than the light, wasn't,
that was funny.
Yeah, was, yes, not funny for me, like I'm getting blinded, yeah, but yes. And cooked, but for 30 minutes, but nonetheless, like, had no one seen that picture and had the negative connotation going into it, like, it wouldn't have been nearly as bad, because the actual setup they had where they were playing beside each other or whatever was like, again, not HyperX, right, or Sportsnet Studios, but it wasn't, you know, I think it was probably better than Carolina where they played outside in the truck, right? Again, I think they're trying to come up with unique places to play when, and sometimes it'll hit and sometimes it will miss. And I think clearly we're at a point now where it should be a studio. Don't worry about fans. Don't worry about outside mm-hmm. things. Studio is, you know, you just got the game audio, so the crowd's in it, and then, you know, we call the games and whatever. I want to read this tweet real quick because I think this is somewhere in the middle. Polg said, this is someone who has been to multiple championships and the actual lands. This is what killed me, is that so many of these people that had never been to a land and will probably not be to a land were chiming in on something that they won't participate in at, right? Doesn't mean that their opinion is not valid, but it's just, you know, you're talking about something you're not competing in, right? Like you're not going to be there, right?
You haven't seen every venue.
Exactly. Yeah. Just a this is from Polgs, who is going to the World Finals, by the way. Just a random thought in the airport on the way home. As a player, yes, it is not ideal. We do not deserve, nor do we have, to have something like this every year. I think we need to be more grateful for things we have instead of being so destructive and more constructive. Just being 21 years old, being able to fly across the world, the experience, everything, put it all into a bigger picture. Look at it from a different POV. Basically, we could have had nothing we've had for the last 6 or 7 years. So I think we're somewhere in the middle of those two. The reject one and then the Polgs one. I think we're somewhere in the middle because, I wish more people would have qualified or been able to come to Nashville. And that trip for those four guys that made it was probably the best since 2019 in Vegas. Like, there's so much going on. The city's taking over. You've got access. The players got to go on the draft floor. You know, you stay for the award show. You play. The venue was outside, and it was not, I don't think, planned to be what it was. But nonetheless, like, it was a spectacle, and you got to be a part of it. Like that, I can't stress enough for the four people that make those things. Even Montreal, where they got to go on the draft floor, and it was, like, that was nuts. Benny, you were there.
It was awesome.
Exactly.
It was, and people shit on the bar too. I thought the bar was from a place.
I actually think from a look of it, yeah. Looking back, one of the most unique for sure.
It was very unique. I was skeptical going to it, same. But after being there, it was awesome. I loved it.
But yeah, so like there's a lot more that goes into it. But the one thing to take away is that we do not deserve it, or we have to have something like this. A lot of people that think that this tournament. I've said this before throughout the year.
If you don't have the foresight to realize that as like a person, yeah. Then like. Then
you're just angry
to be angry. Like, you're immature. You're immature, right? Like, if you don't appreciate things, and that's part of just getting older. Like, you appreciate things as you get older. You look back on things and you're like, you know, like in the moment, I lost to Gren in a final in Toronto, and I'm like pissed, right? As a competitor, I'm mad. It's like, screw this. This was so stupid. I flew up here and I lose and blah, blah, blah. And like, did I pay for it? No. And I look back on it, I'm like, dude, I got to play in a freaking hockey rink, an NHL yeah. rink of video game. When I started playing this game in 1990, whatever, six or seven, whatever year I started playing, I never thought in a million years I'd play in an NHL arena, a video game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to think of it like that should be like already thought of. The point I get what Paul's just saying. It's just, yeah. you got to, you know, like you said, you got to take bits and pieces from everybody.
Yeah.
And I get it.
It's not, it's the GWC has become something where everyone expects, and it is, yeah. it props up Hutt at the high end far mm-hmm. too much, because if it went away, what would you like? I don't even know. That first year would be hilarious to be watching like 100 guys just running 70 different directions, having no idea what to do. They ended up playing sixes or something, or threes, or ones. Well, eliminator.
Look at the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's kind of what you would see. You would just see a huge
directory is right now on Twitch is.
Oh, it's MLB.
Right now.
You know, yeah. I think Sleaze had 300 viewers yesterday. I think I saw maybe a little bit more. I didn't get you right when the team builders dropped.
Oh, it was like 300. Yeah, it was. Yeah,
yeah. We'll go into that now. But like in a normal setting, you know, like if we were all still playing, it would easily be 600, in my opinion. 500.
I mean, every event on Fridays, I would hit 1,000.
Yeah,
every event. And this isn't like team of the season. It would just be an event. And yeah, like obviously as sports games,
Then I guess even more.
Yeah, it's starting to drop quite a bit now, especially because on Twitch, that's the hardcore viewer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even if you're not the Andy, like the guy that comes in at 5 p.m., but it's the regular person. It's like, you know, I'm out, whatever.
Yeah. I think, like I said, going back, this like the wrap it all up, the final thing I was to say about it is just like, I just feel like GWC as a whole in previous years is we're kind of left in the dark. I mean, the freaking 1 year, this is before our buddy, I won't, you know, say his name, Kev. Before he got involved, it was like I was finding out it was HUT a month before it started. I didn't even have a HUT team, you know. So like we've come a long way, but some of it's just like, you know, we were just asking for like previous. It's like we always seem to like find out like a month and a half.
Yeah, it's like a stability.
And so it's just like it's like we kind of all are just playing around, having fun, playing HUT champ. Da, 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 da. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got this tournament, and it's like do, and then all of a sudden it's like lol play. And that's what I mean by it's so wishy-washy. And I think if there's just more of a roadmap and there's more, you know, clarity on things and more, like you said, like just uniformed, I think it'd be better.
Yeah, we're at a point now where it needs to be set it and forget it, where it's the same thing every year.
Yes. And like, listen, I'll disagree on this with like, I don't know what you guys said about I think being at the draft, it is great because I think for the kids,
100%. I've said that as well. I'll go back to our buddy
Seabass. He made a good point to us one time. Like, you got to tie this game, and the league is trying to do that too. You got to tie the game and the sport of hockey and the league together as much as you can. So if you're able to go, you know, hey, like, I mean, dude, you could play this freaking thing in a conference room for $5, and people are gonna want to make it. You know what I'm saying? If it's at the All-Star game, they're like, oh, I can go to the All-Star game. That's cool. It maybe a kid that's like Josh Fearless, who just played soccer his whole life, maybe he gets more into hockey because he got to go to the All-Star game and he ran into Austin Matthews on the street. I don't know. I'm just making a point.
No, that's a good point.
I like it at the All-Star game. It's cool that it was in Nashville.
Missed. Like, this weekend, that's what it missed, because like, it's not like they could send them to the Rangers game. I went to the Rangers game, by the way. Love MSG, and I hope the Panthers and Rangers have a playoff series. That being said, it's not like they could send those 8 guys to the Ranger game, because how is that fair to the Rangers, where the Rangers didn't even have like a, you know what I mean? Like, that it doesn't make any sense to do. Exactly. What do they get out of that? And why do other teams that have qualified reps, like, why do they go to them? Like, why do they get, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's, it definitely missed that, that event element.
I thought Nashville was a home run.
Unbelievable. Like,
I thought the All-Star game that Benny played in was a home run.
Nope. Yep.
I thought the Nashville was a home run. Maybe we could tinker with, you know, the, where that actually got played a little bit, maybe, you know what I mean? Like just a little bit, but you know, cause Nashville with the, like, I think you,
I wish. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. It wasn't nice where it ended up. Was not
it
where
it would have been cool if it was in Tootsie's.
Like, could you imagine, bro? Can you imagine
playing on the rooftop in the backdrop? I mean, I'm just making up something, but like, you get what I'm saying? Like, maybe not in the truck where, you know, but I know they were kind of scrambling. I talked to the guy in Nashville. He's like, dude, we didn't even want it out there. We wanted it in here. And he told me all about this stuff. So then it's like, but that's stuff you don't know until you talk to the people. Exactly. So the point is,
just do it. What about like EA Studios? Just do it. Like, bring everyone to like EA, and then you can bring, like, if it's a logistics issue, why not just like, I haven't been. Yeah,
I'm not sure on that.
Gymnasium, right?
Yeah, they also have the
gym. Deck out the gym basically every year. Bring out the same material.
There would be a spot. There would be a spot for it for sure.
You know what I mean? If you have it in the same location every year, then the logistics goes like into like a more linear.
That's what Stewie was talking about, though, is that like having an event tied to it is like.
I think it needs the event tied to it. I think last year was perfect. I just think the mushy stuff in between, Brent. I think all that stuff, it was just like, it was like, it's like a lot. Then it's like, wham, it's like fall off a cliff, wham. And then it's like, and then you have the guys like me and you get knocked out. And we're like, well, we would still play if we had that one more tournament to make. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm kind of trying to say. Like, if it just spread out a little more, like I said, Benny, I know for Benny, you would be like chomping at the bit. If you're like, oh, I can go play Edmonton Blues. I can play Edmonton Blues. I mean, can you imagine that every weekend, Sleeves? The amount of hype, if you could play every, like, two club championships every weekend, and, like, yeah, you could get, like, Gren winning 10 of them and Benny winning 10 of them, but, like, you know what, like, there's still people making it, and it's still, like, hyped up, and there's fun. I don't know. It's an idea. I would love to hear their thoughts on it, but we'll find out. Maybe this summer we'll talk to them and hopefully, you know, bounce some stuff off them.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, team builders.
Yeah, so we got the four team builders. Dude, I'm surprised they did four.
Yeah, like,
because dude, the cost year, right? of to do all four is it's 1.2 like million per.
Yeah, it's like 6 million total of coins in order to get all of them.
And it was free last year, right?
This point? And what's interesting is that they are clearly trying to make the 99s the like viable, because something that they ran into where is that like 96 overall, everything is basically max that's important. But if you look at the skating increases on these cards, Heatley is +1 Nash. Like, and they're the same size.
I did the side by side comparison. I was like, there's really no reason to go to Heatley besides the name.
But the name value on the card makes you be like, all right, dude, you got to go Danny Heatley, which is cool. Like, exactly. I like that they did that, which goes a long way as to why they need to make stars these cards and not just whoever's biggest, whatever. Like, obviously, Danny Heatley's big, as is Rick Nash. But, like, the fact that Rick Nash is, like, basically Danny Heatley's card, but it's Danny Heatley, and you're like, oh, man, I got to make that card.
Well, the final three last year were Jamie Oleksiak, Brian Boyle, and Nick Andropov.
Like, what a joke. What a joke that was. Like, no.
They're not good players. And before that, you had Ryan Graves, Eric Daze, really good player. Yui Krupp and Eric Staal, really good player. Yui Krupp and Ryan Graves in the same category as those guys.
Exactly. Dude, I'm so glad they didn't do like the New Jersey Devil mandatory player, which is nice. Just real quick, like I looked at them and I was like, man, Pronger is number one. He can get enforcer defenseman, go to 98 speed.
Yeah.
He's massive. And then I actually think that it's Sundin next, but Sundin's jump from Arnott to Sundin is big enough of a jump where it's like, okay, that's a big of an increase. And then I think it's Weber, and then I think it's Heatley. Because, like, Heatley, again, you can just Nash. I think what they shot themselves in the foot with was the 90s. The 90s were bangers. Like, the jump from the 87s to that Madonna, who is legitimately still viable, like, sort of, was so big that they're like, oh, man, we can't have this, because what's the point of doing the 99s, which are going to cost a billion coins? No one's going to want to make them if the 96s already have 99 speed and everything like that. What's the point? You can't really make them any better. So that's what I think the thing is here. But again, it's like, that's kind of lame because the jump isn't really that high. It's not.
No. Well, I mean, like, honestly, they picked like good players for it.
Yes.
Like, Sundin was like a great choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all your Leafs guys are going to be loving that card. I think they kind of messed up the abilities a bit. They should have went more meta stuff. They went a little off meta.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I would have liked to have seen like Edges and Snappy on for the cost. Like, you're going to want to see the meta abilities on.
Yeah,
on
you should have the like best that. Abilities. Yeah.
Which makes for me, I think he's number four because his abilities aren't great for your top six. Like for he'd be playing like my third line for me kind of thing, because he's going to go no abilities. But like, and the Heatley, like, I don't know, like that card, I need him on my first line. It's just too funny.
Like, which goes just another long way. Like, you got to pick the right popular players will hold up and carry an event or cards more than
they
will. So what are your guesses for the remainder? I still think Lindros gets one.
Chara
number one, like for sure. Chara gets one. Trying to think of like other like just monsters.
I could see Blake. Like, I still think, but I don't know if they'll ever do Chara at 90. Like, that is
But they do it every year, though. When the game is quote unquote actually over, yeah. Then they start throwing out like your 99 Myers, your 99 Chara, your like those guys. So I think eventually,
I guess if they did Alexiak, who is not a team builder, is
they might though. They might.
Yeah,
Hawk told me back in the day. I remember he said that they do it purposely, like the size that just keeps going up.
It should, yeah. As it should, because again, if you're going to spend that many coins, it should be a card that has the biggest impact.
And every card is like at max. So,
but I think this year taller. They're trying to make it where it's not just whoever's biggest. They're trying to make it star players though. Still, that's why I think Lindros, Rob Blake, Chara would definitely fit that bill. But I don't think they'd ever do Chara. But maybe they would because But I just see Bobby Orr too.
Right-handed center twice in a row. I don't see them doing it three times in a row. I think they'll go with a big lefty for a centerman next.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point there. I didn't think of it like that.
Andrew Chuck?
Andrew Chuck would be a decent one in a team builder.
But Andrew Chuck is also a righty, though.
Yeah, he
righty is. Winger, though.
Have they gone down in size? Yeah. These players, have they gone down in size at all?
No, not really.
But like you say, very similar. Like Nash and Heatley are both 6'4".
6'3". Weber's 6'4". Nash is 6'4". Heatley's 6'4". Pronger 6'6". Pronger replaced.
There, Robinson is 6'4".
6'4". Yes.
And then what's the other one?
Arnett, who is 6'5". So it's Arnott, the same 6'5", as Sundin.
6'5". So then if you're going up one more.
6'6". Yeah, you're getting, like, there's not many 6'6 guys that are, like, pop, like, super popular. Like Char would be a slam dunk there. I'm trying to think of like.
I'm gonna take a look here.
Like who would be 6'6 and above? Like Rob Blake's only 6'4", I think. I think he's only 6'4". Gigantic. Like you got to be 6'6". Rempe.
Simon Edvinson, Hal Gill.
It's gonna be old guys.
Old guys.
Oh wait, Tate's got the community though. That's the thing. So like. Yeah, it probably is old guys. You're probably right.
It has to be. Yeah, like
usually is
alumni players. So, yeah, I don't know, man. That's tough. I'm trying to think of like alumni that are big
that like don't play anymore. Like I'm trying to see if there's like that fits the bill because they're clearly going more popular players and not the Antropov era way. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, we'll end the show by doing a live look in of who we think. Didn't Philip Myers get one, or was that he got like a MSP? I think 1 year.
MSP in 21.
Yeah, dude.
What are they called? What are they called this year? They were called icons.
Yeah,
base icons. That's what I'm looking. I've been looking through the market.
I see him all year. An Elmer Soderblom would be perfect. 6'8" left-handed centerman. There you go.
Not popular enough.
I'm going 6'4" and taller for like icons, right?
That's why I think Rob Blake and Lindros are like the clear two, but they're not any bigger than.
This is like sorted by like, okay, Chara, I think like Brent might be right on that one. Hal Gill, they already did. They're not going to give it to Peter Worrell. Stud, met him in St. Louis. He's hilarious. Daze.
I don't think they do it again.
I don't think they do it again. Jeff Schultz, I don't think they would do him.
No.
Not popular enough. Ryan Allen, George Perro, Stu Grimson, Hans.
Dude, what about Blake Wheeler?
Primo.
I mean, Wheeler's
Primo.
Fine.
Primo had one though, I think, didn't he?
Primo had one in 22.
Oh, Ryan Getzlaff.
Getzlaff.
Is he in the game though?
Oh, he might not be because he retired right beforehand. Yeah. There's always that like that.
No, he's not in the game.
Pima Havilic. 6'5".
Too old.
Yeah.
Usually they don't go back that far.
Yeah, true.
Give me my boy Joel Otto. I love that helmet he wears too.
The perfect one is Vinny LeCavalier.
Yeah.
Honestly, Joe Thornton.
Perro. Oh yeah, Thornton too. Yeah.
Like Thornton would be if Thornton isn't it like later on in the year, like the 99. I hope he's one next year. Him and Marlowe would be perfect.
If we're just going to make money here, I mean, if we're going in packs and stuff, but he's not in the game, give Matt Rempe one, baby.
100%. So I was at the Ranger game, right? And obviously Rempe Nation is like taking over, right? Yeah. Rempire State building, like, you know what I mean? And you do not understand, if you're not a Ranger fan, what it is like, dude. He hopped over the boards and MSG went nuts every single time. Like, it didn't matter if he was forechecking and it was like 1-on-5. Dude, the crowd went insane. If he scores a goal ever at home, it'll be deafening. Like, it is, I did not understand. Like, I understood, like, he made a huge wave and, like, made fighting popular again, which it's been so frowned upon. And I think that what he was doing is not healthy. What he was doing in the first five games is
unsustainable.
Dude, no, especially that Olivier fight when he got seven shots from a heavyweight fighter. That was dangerous.
He's already just banged up. He already has, two black eyes in the fight beforehand.
You can tell that he's been told, like, you need to... I mean, even the Reeves fight, they like, that was billed as, like, especially because it's Toronto, right? It was billed as, like, oh, my God, like, you got to watch this. And the whole time, if you right before they fight, you can go back and watch the clip. He looks back at Laviolette and is like, we cool? Like, can I do this? And he, like, gives him, like, a nod. And he's like, okay, and then there they go, and it was this massive fight. So... It was crazy. I did not realize, but the Rangers love him. It was not. Also, just like I said, unbelievable game. Man, Rangers-Panthers would be a hell of a series. So, although I don't want that to happen because that means the Leafs got pooped on. So, all right, fellas, another good episode. We'll be back after my trip to DC. And next week will be... Oh, should we do one next week? Oh, Team of the Season will be out. We'll talk about it. There's enough to talk. Yeah, we got to do one next week. We'll have to figure out what we do going on. We didn't do any MLB talk, so let's pat ourselves on the back for that. We've all been grinding MLB.
GWC talk. I just feel like it.
No. I think the GWC talk was valid this week because it legitimately made waves. Like there was.
I just think it ties into the activity of the game more than people realize.
I think it hit a boiling point too this weekend, and it needed to be addressed by people that play it, people that broadcast it, people that have been to LANs. I think that we covered a wide variety of topics there. So thank you guys again for listening and downloading the episode. We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.